In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua is for you and me today if we're willing to follow the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about the love of the world. Yesterday, we talked about the desire for distinction, wanting a place more prominent, perhaps, than the one God has given us. Today, I want to talk about that five-letter word, money. I had a letter from one listener who said, "I've been blessed by your program, but it seems I always run out of tithe money before I get to Gateway to Joy." Well, I want to say to that person, I'm glad you're blessed, and I'm very glad that you understand tithing, setting aside at least one-tenth of your income for God. And I want you to understand that we here at Gateway to Joy do not want the money that is meant for others. How you use your money is between you and God. But today, I'm going to talk about money, perhaps one of the touchiest subjects in the world. And it's not just going to be Elizabeth Elliott opinions. As usual, I want to take you to what the Bible says about money. One of the things which is a clear and categorical statement is you cannot serve God and money. Now, there it is, clear as crystal. A lot of things we talk about in the Bible are kind of hard to understand, and people say, well, you know, I don't really understand the Bible, or I have trouble with this or that, but I don't think any of us can possibly use the excuse that we can't understand this verse. You cannot serve God and money. Now, in the older translations of the Bible, the word money there is mammon, M-A-M-M-O-N. That was the name that Milton gives to the demon of avarice or cupidity. Avarice and cupidity both mean an inordinate desire for riches. And the Bible uses the word mammon referring to riches, the kinds of riches that pass away, that are only good in this world. We might as well settle it once and for all in our minds. We cannot serve God and money. Matthew 6, verses 24 to 34. Let me read. "No servant can be the slave of two masters. For either he will hate the first and love the second, or he will be devoted to the first and think nothing of the second. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I bid you put away anxious thoughts about food and drink to keep you alive, and clothes to cover your body. Surely life is more than food, the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow and reap and store in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You are worth more than the birds. Is there a man of you who by anxious thought can add a foot to his height? And why be anxious about clothes? Consider how the lilies grow in the field. They do not work, they do not spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his splendor was not attired like one of these. But if that is how God clothes the grass in the fields, which is there today and tomorrow is thrown on the stove, will he not all the more clothe you? How little faith you have. No, do not ask anxiously, what are we to eat? What are we to drink? What shall we wear? All these are things for the heathen to run after, not for you, because your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Set your mind on God's kingdom, and his justice before everything else, and all the rest will come to you as well. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will look after itself. Each day has trouble enough of its own. How many of us are trying to do the very thing that the Lord says is impossible? Examine your conscience today. Making money does not necessarily make serving God impossible, but loving money certainly does. I hope that's a clear distinction. If you're trying to serve God and money, it's not going to work. But you can serve God in the process of making money. When you start loving it, that's when the trouble starts. We have many examples in the Bible of men who made money. Some of them even had very great wealth. Solomon and Job, for example. And Job was called a blameless man. Solomon was serving God. But in the parable, the rich man who ignored the needs of the poor at his door was a worldly man. Another one in one of Jesus' parables built greater barns and ignored his soul's salvation. It was impossible for him to serve God because his primary concern was wealth. Now, it's not always easy to serve God. It is easy to serve wealth. I mean by that, it's very easy for us to run after money. It's not always easy to make it, but it's easy to try. Now, what kind of a master is the Lord? Let's look at the contrasts between him and money. He's the Father of lights. He's the God of peace. He's the lover of all of us, lover of souls. He's the Creator, the Redeemer, life giver, God of the glories of sea, mountains, sunsets, hummingbirds. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the contrast between our God and the God of this world, Mammon. The God of this world is cruel, insatiable. His wages are death, but he lures us with lies which we so easily swallow. Test yourself. Do you talk a lot about money? Do you talk about the joys of making money? Do you drive a hard bargain, thinking only of yourself? I suppose that it really hasn't occurred to a lot of Christians that they should be thinking of others even in buying and selling. The Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Are you charging the rent that you would want somebody to charge you? Is it fair? Is it just? Do you need all of that? Do you prefer the company of rich and popular people? Where does your security lie? Does it lie in houses, lands, securities, investments, bank accounts? Is that what you really depend on? When you lose money, what does that do to you? Does it deprive you of all your joy? Think about death now. Just think for a moment about your own death. At that moment, what will you have? Can you take it with you? Will there be nothing to show? Will you have spent your whole life chasing after money? Some of you may say, preach to yourself. Practice what you preach. And that's a worthy admonition. I accept it. I pray daily for help in the practice of all the things that I talk about on Gateway to Joy. I pray that God will deliver me from being merely a talker and a writer and a listener and a reader, and that he will make me a doer. I would very much appreciate your prayers for me, that God will make me faithful in that, faithful in the places where nobody's looking. But money in itself is not always a bad thing. It's never a bad thing in itself. It was God's idea. Money is a good thing. Money can be God's gift. Money is powerful for good. You remember when Jesus was asked if he paid Caesar's taxes, and he sent somebody to catch a fish and bring back a coin that was actually in that fish's mouth. And he talked about the good that money can do. And when God provides the money we need to buy the things that we need, we should be grateful to God. How do you use your money? Do you tithe faithfully? Do you set aside as not belonging to you at all, at least a tenth? Well, the Bible doesn't say that you have to do that, not in the New Testament, it doesn't say. But it is amazing what God does when we abide by that spiritual principle. This percentage belongs not to me at all, but is God's. And I've heard wonderful stories from people who, through tithing, have actually found that they have more money than they had before they started to tithe. See what God will do for you if you will surrender your money to Him and ask Him to look upon it as He wants you to. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.